Hey, Chip, we can't hear you.
Okay, let me try that again. What did we say about the mute button there, Mr. Becker? Yeah,
it was fair warning, buddy. I was just trying to get you warmed up.
You were trying to get me warmed up, and I had cleared my throat. So here it goes. Yo, Chip. All right, so once again, it's Kayak Fishing Radio. It's Thursday night, and old Bill, if you're in there, you can hear me now. You're listening to the right version, all right? And so we got Mr. Becker, Bill Howard, and Chuck just dialed back in. So welcome aboard, guys. So
really good to be here.
Really good to be here. Chuck, are you there?
It's always a pleasure.
Of course it is, man. It's a pleasure. Dude, in that picture of that kayak today that you posted?
Yeah.
You look like Adam with a beard.
Adam? Oh,
yeah, because yeah, it made you look really short. If that stool hadn't have been there, man, it would have been like Adam holding up a, you know, a 9-foot tarpon or something like that, you know?
So, pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool color, man.
Yeah, Earth, that's one of the new colors that they came out with for this year. It's available in both their recreational boats and the fishing boats, so it's kind of cool.
Very cool. And I understand that Mr. Howard Haywood has some news for us. You want to wait a few minutes there, Bill, before and we'll let get their seats in the chat room, you know, get all settled in and crack open another beer. Just like that. So tell us, how's the weather down there? It's getting freaking cold up here and I'm hating life, man.
Nice, I got the house opened up.
Yeah. I saw on the weather report for like next week, it's supposed to be up in the 80s down there.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought
yeah.
I was
you. You thought you were
on it pretty much doesn't suck to live in Florida right now.
I know, right? So last weekend we took the we took the boondoggle buggy out for this shakedown cruise, right? And drug it over to Alabama. It was about drag it about 100 miles, you know, make sure that everything was going good with it, hook it up in the campground, and, you know, just test all the systems. Well, you need to carry a toolkit with you when you have an RV because when you turn the valves on for the water heater and the little plug is not in it, which is a 1 1/16-inch socket that you don't have, all the water just runs out the backside of the trailer. So, but luckily the campground we were staying in, it was a state park over in Alabama. They had, you know, showers and stuff like that. We just stayed one night. It was just to drag it over there, set it up, you know, see what we needed and all. There was a good shakedown cruise and all. But, I guarantee you in about 6 years when my next retirement point comes up, I'm going to have create an app that tells me where the temperature will be 72 degrees in the United States. And I will drag that thing to wherever it will be 72. If it looks like it's going to go up to 80, then we're going to drag it somewhere where it's going to be 72. If it looks like it's going to be 30, then we're going to drag it somewhere else. But holy cow, man. I'm a warm weather sports person. I don't dig this cold weather thing. So Lozier says, it's 27 in Virginia Beach. Shocker was 85 in Curacao the last 10 days he was on the island. So, and then I saw Chris posting that she was going to pick him up last night. And he had wore his flip-flops. That's crazy. Let me say hi to a couple of folks just dialing in there. Area code 703, you're on the air, Kayak Fishing Radio. Welcome. All right.
Yo, Chip, Dave Kappas.
Hey, Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Hey, you probably don't even recognize it. I'm Captain D Fish on the blog talk here.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
That was me, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just started dialing in. The dial-ups. Well, never mind. It's technical.
It works better? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
All right, well, welcome aboard, man.
Yeah, man.
So, Chuck's said
he's
got a
big... It's 12 degrees up here in Reston, so don't feel bad wherever you are.
It's 12?
Yep.
Oh, well, that sucks, man. I like 38 sounds better now. So, but
you're warm.
And we also got 678. I think that's Jim. You there?
Yeah, man. How's it going, Chip? This is Jim.
All right. You're on the north side, man. You're gonna get the ice first.
Yeah, that's you know, just lucky like that, brother. You know what
I
mean?
I know, right? So, Arlie,
hey,
70. Go ahead.
70 Tuesday. Next Tuesday, it's gonna be 70 on the north side. What's up with that?
I don't know, man. It says 60 this weekend, so it's crazy weather, man. Crazy. The weather guessers just got it all screwed up, you know.
But, yep.
So who's been fishing? I think Bill said he went fishing this past week, man.
Not me.
No, you didn't? Oh, well.
No, hey, I had other things going on this week.
Yeah, and we all want to make sure that we get the good vibes and good karma going for Bill. And son is out of the hospital. He's doing better. We want to make sure that we keep up on that, man. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you. So.
Thank you.
Becker? Did you do some fishing, man?
I did fish last Saturday. And,
all right, hang on. Let me get some background music.
Okay.
There you go. All right, go ahead.
Oh, really? I didn't warm up for this.
Okay. So you did some fishing?
So I did. I fished last Saturday in a little local event here in gale force winds, and I've begun to think that they pick this weekend, the dates for these events, by looking for the worst possible combination of tide, wind, and moon, and then say, okay, let's see who can catch fish. had a few nice trout, one just about 26, I guesstimated, at the side of the boat, and a couple more on the board, but couldn't find a redfish to save my life. And, you know, the one time you're trying to fish ladyfish for this weird event where you're you know, you got X number of points for any fish you caught, regardless of what kind it was. I couldn't find a ladyfish, so had a good time being out, getting blown around in 40 knot winds for a few hours, and went back and had a good time at the pick and sip. But that was the extent of my fishing for the weekend.
What were they biting on?
Nothing.
Nothing.
actually, the only thing that they would take is, and I'm sure Mr. Howard will speak to this as being his go-to bait. This was an event where you couldn't bring any lures. All you could bring is the maximum of three rods, no hooks, no lures, no nothing. And you got a little Ziploc bag with a couple of lures, a couple of jig heads, and a hook in it, and that's what you could fish with.
Oh,
but everybody
okay.
was fishing with the same thing. And fortunately, two of the things in there were a 1/8-ounce chartreuse jig head and a DOA Cal shadtail in golden brim color.
Right,
and I've learned that that is one of the go-to baits for this area for the winter. It's a nice dark profile, about the right size,
uh-huh.
the fish downsize and what they're looking to eat. And there were very few redfish caught. They were kind of few and far between. But that's really the only thing I fished with any consistency. And oddly enough, that was the only thing that the trout were hitting. Who'd have thought?
Wow.
I had a couple of real nice flounder bites where I, you know, had them on for 2 seconds and then they opened their mouths and let go. And I could tell that because I was dragging it, you know, at a quarter of a real turn per second along the bottom, right along the edge of the sand and the grass.
Yeah.
You could feel them, you know, you could feel them pick it up, yank, flip like a doormat a couple times and then let go. So,
right.
But aside from that, that was it.
So Lozier says, keep talking. He's taking notes.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, you know, when I went last week and when we were talking before the show about the DOA tournament, for those of you who are listening to the podcast, for those of you in the chat room, the DOA tournament was posted up, I guess it was last week or maybe a little bit before, but it's a great tournament. You go to the doalures.com and go click on the events. And then look on the right side, and you'll see the Paddlers event. It takes place down at River Palms Resort, who is a sponsor of the Boondoggle at Chokoloskee. And again, this year, they're going to provide a weekend. That's a nice one. I won that one last time. That was a great certificate there. But the DOA tournament is going to be there. And it's similar. I mean, you get more than three lures, but you just get a box of their lures. And the $60 that you pay for the entry fee is well worth just getting the box of DOA lures because it's a bunch of stuff. But, see, my buddy Bill there, he tuned me in to, excuse me, sitting down and talking with the guys there. And his name's Bill, right, Bill?
Who are you talking about?
At the DOA tournament. Can you hear me?
You mean Mark?
Mark
Nichols?
Yeah, Mark Nichols.
Yeah.
So I sat with him. I got there Friday night, you know, and we were just talking, and they were getting set up, and then getting ready for the captain's meeting, and so he was more than happy to sit there and pull out lures and go, well, now you can take this one and you can rig it several different ways. And that's the trick is learning how to rig up, you know, like at the DOA shrimp. I think if you Google rigging a DOA shrimp, you'll find at least a dozen different ways to rig one of those rascals. So, those are fun kind of tournaments to fish in. And the DOA tournament, I see that they've upped it this year. They said they're going to take 120 entries this year. So I don't know if we're going to be able to get to that one, but because we're going to do the native one in March. So I'm running out of days off on the book. So hopefully we'll get taken care of. But interesting stuff. And, you know, sometimes I found when they're hitting short, you know, when a small bait works, sometimes take a little bit more off of it, you know, and leave the paddle tail alone, but take it off from the other end and make the bait even smaller. Does that ever work for you? You ever try that?
I don't know.
You get too small, huh?
Yeah, if the tail comes off, I'll keep throwing it for a while, but then I'll just, you know, I'll change it out. I don't know if it makes a difference. You know, as slow as you're fishing it this time of year, it's not really wiggling all that much.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's it.
I usually just change it.
Downsize a little bit and work now,
it
slow.
If it's a jerk bait, like when I used to fish the Exude RT slugs a lot in the spring, summer for redfish. And sometimes the puff reel will chew off just a little bit of the tail on that. I'll keep fishing that. That won't make a difference.
Right.
Because you got a whole, you know, you got most of the main body there that's twitching, and that's what they key on anyway. It's not that little tail wiggling. They're not seeing that. They're looking at that quick jerk movement. So I'll still use that, you know. But
yeah.
Yeah.
And you're a chartreuse jig head, and
yeah.
You think
I don't know what it is, man. It's just it works for me at this time, and this is the only time of year I'll really throw it is in the winter when the water warms up and there's more grass. I switch to a totally different lure, and I won't use a jig. You know, the rest of the year. Just in the wintertime is when I throw that. And I will just drag it or bounce it really slow on the bottom. Chartreuse. I think, I just think it's the color contrast between the dark lure body and then the bright head.
Right.
Does it make a difference? Probably not. It's just what I've used that works, so I don't want to change. Why change it?
Yeah, it's kind of a confidence thing.
Yeah.
I like chartreuse and white. So.
I've seen days, and I've had days, and Greg was in on one the other day, where we were all throwing in the basic general area, and that lure was killing them. And when I did the first leg of the paddle around the bay back in 2008, it was a low tide, very low tide that day, and we got on a sandbar, and we were close to a trough, and you could see the mullet schooling up, you know, so I started casting in those mullet, and literally every cast I was catching a redfish. And my friend Peter stood next to me. Well, he started like 50 yards down from me, thrown in the same hole, and he wasn't getting a bite.
Right.
I just said, dude, come over here and just stand right next to me. And he got, you know, within an arm's length of me, thrown in the same spot and not getting a bite until he switched to the same lure I was throwing, and then it was one after the other.
That's fun.
That's just weird, you know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I like that high contrast, especially when you're working a bait slow. But and some of the guys in the chat room were saying they like red, but I don't know. I like a little bit brighter jig head when I'm using a jig head.
Now, growing up, that's all I ever used to use was a red jig head.
Right.
I'd use a red jig head on a pumpkin or motor oil color bass worm.
Mm-hmm.
And kill the redfish for that.
You were fishing soft plastics before they were cool, right?
Yeah, we had an old time commercial slash poacher slash guide. This guy's done everything there is to do in the water in Tampa Bay, and he showed us this lure years and years and years ago. It was just a red Coty jig head because that's all you could buy, and it was a double tail bass worm, and you bite off most of the bass, the worm part, and you're only left with maybe an inch or three quarters of an inch of the worm body and the two twin tails.
Right.
And you rig it up on that jig head, and you bounce it along or throw it in potholes, and that thing was deadly. So, I don't know, you know. Is it a color? Is it a contrast in the head of the jig head and the body of the bait? Who knows?
Yeah. We've had similar discussions before, you know, when folks say mass to hatch. And when I was growing up, they always taught us, you know, like you match the color of your lure to the color of the water. So if you're doing greenish, you know, you do something like that. And then, you know, I've seen guys go the exact opposite way, too. So
I think that's kind of like a carryover from the bass fishermen.
I think so, yeah.
To me, I always match my lure to the bottom of where I'm fishing, okay? So let's say you're fishing for beach snook. There's no grass. If you look at all the bait in the water at the beach, it is the color of the sand. It's, you know, they're almost invisible. They're like bright silver or sand color. So that's the color you want to use. When
right.
you're fishing over grass, look at the bait and the food that's in that grass. It's all dark color because they want to blend in.
Yeah.
So that's what I go with.
Yeah.
You know, it just the color of the water. The friends of mine that are catching the snooks in the river right now, they're using dark colors because the water's dark, the bait's dark.
Right. Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, I was just, actually there was an article in the paper this evening that I saw about deer, you know, and they're that cinnamon brown color during the summer and they're ashen gray during the winter, you know. It's like because they blend in better with the surroundings, you know. Animals like to do that.
You could take it to the reverse of that, though. Chokoloski, Cedar Key, that water is dirty. It's not naturally dark from mangroves and the stained acidic water. It is in certain spots, but like in Chokoloski Bay, that water is just dirty because there's a lot of fresh water dumping in, gets it all stirred up. The further out you go, the clearer you know, the clearer it gets. Or if you go back up in the rivers, it gets clear. But in Chokoloskee, white bucktails, pink lures are real good in the Everglades. Why? What's pink?
I don't know.
You know, maybe the big pink Gulf shrimp, you know. But
they're not that pink, though.
They're
not that pink. They use
no.
that bubblegum pink. I've seen them use, like, those hoagie lures.
That works.
Yeah.
See, you're keeping now, that water, you fished it with me up there, that water is just dirty.
It's like fishing in chocolate milk, yeah.
Yeah, that water, you need something with a flash because that water is just dirty, and you can't see 6 inches, you know, in that stuff. So you need, you know, silver
like
flash,
magic
gold flash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something with a spoon on it or something like that, or a mirror lure. It's got the flash to it. That's what the clone was catching his fish on last time we were there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Your thoughts, Mr. Becker? Are you thinking there, or are you just gelling? I got to say hi to Jean. Jean is Irish. Jean is driving to Titusville. She's going to do what's she say? She's going to be doing the Space Coast Birding Festival for Everglades Area Tour. So she's listening to us on the app. If you don't have our app, you can check it out. It's on iTunes for the iPhone, or you can go to Google Play and pick it up on for your Android device. But she's listening. Says she's got a sore throat. Hope she feels better. But she's going to be talking to people all weekend. So that'll be fun. Hi, Jean. Keep your hands on the wheel and stay safe. She's texting me now. But Chuck, are we on the right game plan for the folks? I mean, we're only 3 weeks from the boondoggle.
I know it. It's crazy.
Isn't it? Right? Are you getting stoked?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. I'm really excited. Can't you tell?
No, I am. I'm extremely excited about it. I'm just, you know, this is usually the part that sucks the worst because you got to sit here and wait. You know, you're like, oh, it's only 3 weeks away. Oh, it's only 2 weeks away. Then you get to that week mark and it's like, ah, here we go, you know, getting ready. But, yeah, I mean, the jig head conversation's interesting. I don't know. I'm with Bill in the fact that if you're fishing the beach and stuff, you kind of have to match what you're doing. But for us over here, it's a little bit different. I don't ever seem to see a difference in catching a fish on a white, pink, blue, purple. It doesn't make a difference to me, jig head, you know what I mean? Most of what we're doing, the water's so shallow, there's so much grass that I think Lozier just said it in there. Most of it's a reaction bite anyway. They don't have time to see if it's a certain color that they want to eat that day. I mean, for us, it's either there, it's gone, you know. And plus, our style of fishing, it just doesn't really allow us to, I guess, be able to know whether or not that color is working better than a different color head. Baits, I can see a difference. There's been days where we've been out there, like, for instance, this past summer and the fall when the water was still kind of dirty, and I was throwing chicken off a chain or chicken on a chain, depending upon what company you buy it from.
Right.
I was out fishing most of the guys, you know, 2-1 with them throwing anything other than that. So that's got a little bit of a chartreuse tail on it. And, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of it, like it's been said a million times, I think most colors are meant to catch the fisherman more so than the fish. I don't think a fish, or especially a redfish, we're not talking about a creature that's really too wary most of the time of what's going on around them. I mean, they're kind of dumb. So snook, for sure, I could see that, you know, matching the color of the forage that they're eating at the time would probably be more efficient that way. But for redfish, they're glorified catfish with spots on their tails. I mean, I've said it for years. They just, you know, if you put it in front of them, they're hungry. They're going to eat it for the most part, unless you bomb them on the head and that kind of thing. I must have been really, really pressured. But I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow to the Mosquito Lagoon. I'm going to do some scouting around to see what's going on after this weird weather pattern we just had blow through.
Right.
And I actually have a few different colored jig heads, so maybe I'll give them a go and see what we come up with.
Jim just said you can hit them in the head in Louisiana and they don't care.
Yeah, you know what's fun about that? I got a buddy who guides down there in the wintertime, and he's probably one of the best guys around as far as fly fishing is concerned here in Central Florida, and I know he does a really good job when he's down there. And he told me, Chuck, if you ever want to go and just catch stupid amounts of redfish, giants, on fly, you can be the worst fly caster ever, and you'll still catch them. He's like, I think he said one time his record of having a fish strike a fly and not spook off was like 32 attempts at the fly before it finally got the fly. Like he said that they followed the fly back to the boat like four times and just kept, you know, gulping at it. His client kept pulling the fly away from it. And finally, he got it. So, yeah, you know, it's, I don't know. There's nothing going on down there that's anywhere near what we have going on over here, though. And it's been said by some of the best red fishermen on the planet. I mean, guys that have won tons of money in boats and all that kind of stuff in tournaments, that the redfish that call the Space Coast area home can be some of the hardest fish to catch in the entire world because they're so heavily pressured. The water tends to be really clean. They're usually not by themselves this time of year. They're usually in big groups. And so with all those eyeballs out there, if you mess up on a calm morning, yeah, it's pretty tough. So,
yeah.
Kind of crazy. I don't know. If that's the truth, that these are the hardest fish to catch in the world or whatever, as far as redfish are concerned, then I feel pretty good about my chances of catching fish everywhere else because we've got pretty much dialed in. So,
yeah, let's go to Louisiana.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
Road
I got
trip.
Another email.
Road trip.
Yeah, let's do the next boondoggle there. I'm cool with it. Now, I got another email from someone asking about, this is really killing me. People are starting to rethink coming who live in Florida because of the number of people who are going to be at the boondoggle. And that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It doesn't make any sense. talking about just the no motor zone, okay? If you're lazy and you don't want to drive anywhere else and you're just going to fish the no motor zone, there's 9 miles of shoreline on the west side of the no motor zone. There's a 3-mile paddle to get across the no motor zone, and there's 7 miles of shoreline on the other side. So this is a giant area that we're talking about. It's like fishing a big bay. So even if the majority of the people came fish the no motor zone, I don't think it's going to affect the fishing in the least. Not to mention, we've got the Thousand Islands, which are just south of that area, so it's a short, like a 20-minute car ride. Mosquito Lagoon up to the north, the Indian River that's literally directly across the street from Cars Park, just a number of different places to fish. So, yeah, it's please, if anyone's listening and you're on the fence and you're concerned about the number of people who are going to be attending this event and you're like, yeah, the fishing's going to suck, just come out and fish. And if you don't have a good experience fishing, at least you'll have a good time with everybody else. And people always said it anyways, that the boondoggles are set up more for the interaction and the networking and communication between all of us, and then, like, fishing's kind of secondary. I mean, it makes sense that way because you can't, just like when we went to Virginia Beach, you know, I went up there with high hopes that I was going to go up there and just destroy the world, and I caught some rat reds and a few dink trout, and I was still happy because I had a great time with everybody that's up there. You know, I could have stayed in Florida and did the same thing, but it's a completely different atmosphere. So please don't not come out because, you know, you're worried about the number of people who are going to be fishing in Brevard County. It'll be fine, I assure you.
Is it like about 1 million people a day fish in Florida? I, you know, you can usually find a spot on the bank somewhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, and if you live here, I'm just saying, you know, if you live here in Florida, what's the difference? We got guys who are like Greg Chris is driving down from New Hampshire, for God's sake. Some guys are coming from Texas and Louisiana, and none of those guys have ever griped to me or griped to anybody about the number of people. It just seems to be the locals that are like, oh, man, there's going to be so many people. It's like, whatever. Don't come. There you go. Give everybody else a better chance of winning some great prizes.
You gotta come. You gotta come just to experience. You know, the people. You know, you get to put faces with everybody. I mean, you could get Rob DeVore a Bad Back Cast. You could get him to sign your boat or something. You know, you get his autograph and tug on his little beard and stuff. But I don't know. It's cool to come in and at least just hang out. I mean, and watch Stan fall out of a tree and not lose his hat. He's like an Old West hero.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I already talked to Stan about the trees, and I told him I went ahead and picked out a couple of oak trees that have low-lying limbs, and he was pretty excited about that. So who gets the pink boa and Crocs?
I know. You still got those, Bill?
You damn Skippy, I do. I'm wearing them right now.
Nice. Bring them. That's what I'm talking about.
So are we going to do...
Pardon me while I sign off for a minute and go pour acid in my eyes. I'll be right back.
In my Speedo, and I'm wearing my new PFD that I got from Mustang Survival because I love it so much.
Oh, you know, now my wife saw that, Bill, and she's like, look, Bill's got one of those because we were just in Bass Pro the other day, and she's like, oh, no, we were in REI, and they had, I forget what, they didn't have the Mustangs in there, but they had some other ones. She goes, why can't I wear one of these? And I'm like, I don't know. I said, I like a regular PFD. She goes, but that thing is so hot. And then here you go putting yours up on there. And
sure.
She's like, she looked it up,
awesome.
And they got a pink one. Is that the,
oh,
that's,
sweet.
That's yeah,
the one you got.
They got. Is that the one you got, Bill? You got, it matches your Croc, Boa? Yeah,
it's
so
matching. I got a match, man. You know? Color coordinate, bro.
That's the MIT 100 auto inflator. Is that what they sent you?
Yeah, it's the new one that was at ICAST.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
it looks pretty nice, man.
There's a very long story that goes with the original one that they sent me.
Oh,
that got lost, but I finally got it.
So we can expect to see a review on Yak Angler or Blade or something like that?
You betcha. It'll be up on Yak Angler. If I can get out on the water this weekend, I'll probably have it
now,
maybe in a week or two.
Now, and here's the thing, you know, I want you to, you're going to try doing like a, you're going to dive off the boat and let it inflate and everything and try getting back in your boat and stuff? Because that's the problem that I've heard people have with those.
Yes.
The inflatable.
It is a problem, and it's because all of the buoyancy is in front of you on your chest. So it is a little bit of a chore to get back in the kayak with one of those on. I won't be inflating this one until I get another rearm kit.
Right.
But I do have another one that I might be doing that with. But, yeah, I've done it before. I gave a... like a demo in a pool once, and it was a chore to get back in with one of those on because of, you know, that whole, it's all right there in front of you and on your chest.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit more difficult to get back in.
Right. So, I look forward to seeing your review and stuff because, like I said, she's pretty interested in that, and I don't know. I like wearing a PFD. If you come to the Boondoggle, by the way, if you're listening and you're planning on coming to the Boondoggle, please bring your PFD. We really, I know that some, you know, most of the places out there is shallow water and everything, but you know what? If you fall out of your kayak and you hit your head, it's not going to do you any good. There was just a guy up in the Midwest, and I don't know if you read it, but a guy, I saw it on the news the other night. The guy was talking to his son. He had just bought him a brand new PFD, and he didn't have it on. Had on his sunglasses, though, and the water is cold. You fall in. You can't get back to your boat, and, you know, then people are talking about you. So all you would have had to do was have your PFD on. So
I think a lot of it, too, has to do, Chip, with just general safety in general and knowledge and experience.
Mm-hmm.
Greg and, you know, Greg certainly had more to do with this than I did, but, you know, we had a gentleman lose his life here in Tampa Bay he was wearing a PFD.
Right.
But the water was probably in the mid-50s, low-60s, and he got dumped out of his kayak on a day that nobody had any business being out in Tampa Bay. And I just wondered, sometimes I see these guys offshore. Yeah, they're within sight of the shore. Great. But looking at the pictures, you can't see their kayak because there's 3 or 4 foot waves.
Right.
If you dump that thing and decide, hey, I'm going to go over here and get this that's floating, and you look back and your kayak is now booking away from you.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't have a PFD, or, you know, even if you do have your PFD and your kayak gets away from you, and that's what happened with this guy.
Oh.
He had a PFD on, his boat got away from him, his paddle got away from him, and he ended up dying from hypothermia.
Yeah.
But they found him on clear on the other side of the bay from where he put in at.
Yeah. No, and I know there's plenty of guys in the chat room right now from up there in Virginia and stuff. And, you know, I was impressed to see those guys get dressed out for going out there in the water. I mean, they all had their PFDs on. A lot of them were wearing anti-exposure gear, you know, the dry suit or at least, you know, some splash pants and a top that would keep them dry. But you got to dress. You got to think about it. And I know, you know, I know your background from the Air Force, and I was an aviator in the Marine Corps, and I know Becker's a pilot, and guys, you know, you got to think about it. You got to think before you go. You know, it doesn't do you any good when you're in a situation that you can't get out of to think about, oh, man, I wish I would have worn my waders, you know, or I wish I would have worn my exposure suit. Because by that time, Tommy's asking, do you keep a lanyard attached to yourself? No, and I see guys who don't even have a leash on their paddle. And, you know, it's tough, man. So
I always have a leash on my paddle, and I almost always have my paddle in my lap.
Yeah.
Even if I'm just drifting, fishing, my paddle's in my lap. If something happens and I get dumped, I've got that paddle in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know how to do it, you can also use that leash and your paddle to help you get back in. You can use it as a step to help you get back in the kayak.
That's right.
But
no, it's important. And Mr. Becker, I know you've got some EMT experience there. You can chime in on safety too, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, and you know, in addition to the EMT stuff, being on one of New York State's USAR teams, the Urban Search and Rescue teams that do all the high angle rescue and building collapse and all that stuff. I mean, you know, that's the first thing we did. We did it every day, all day, and twice on Sunday was our safety and our safety gear before we did anything for anybody else. And it's just it's such an ingrained thing. You know, there's a whole thread going on Yak Angler that I haven't had a chance to chime in on yet with folks talking about, you know, how to deal with the wind in the winter. And, you know, if it's that windy, how do you dress for the wind? And I haven't heard seen a single comment on there about how to dress for immersion in the winter.
Right.
How to dress to get wet. You know, have your rain jacket on so that it keeps the moisture off and stuff like that. Well, that's great. But when you're up to your chest, assuming you're even wearing your PFD, all those layers are going to get pretty soggy and pretty heavy, and you're going to be wet no matter what, how good your super mega frog cog Columbia Gonia jacket, you know, is 3 layers of ultra mega Gore-Tex. You're still going to get wet, and you're going to be cold, and you're now going to be wet and cold in the wind. There are times, like Bill said, there are times when you really got to reconsider where you are and what you're doing.
Right.
Even with the safety equipment, no matter how much gear you have, sometimes the decision should still be no go.
Right. Could I even be out there?
gear can't fix everything.
No.
I appreciated the opportunity on the last show to talk about the Tampa Bay Frogman swim. and how we had 150 kayakers out there supporting 150 swimmers doing a 3.1 mile swim across Tampa Bay. But the fact of the matter is there were a lot of first-time kayakers out there, and there were a lot of people out there in little 8-foot, 10-foot play sport boats that, frankly, you know, in the 10 gusting, 17 knot wind that we had, with one section of a 2 to 3 foot swell that was coming from the left, wind that was coming from the right, and tide that was on your bow, they really had, and I couldn't see because I was so far ahead, but I heard stories about these people couldn't even keep their boats straight, much less manage the boat and manage to be a safety link for their swimmer who was in the water in that condition.
Right.
I think through those areas, it was much more difficult for the kayakers than it was for the swimmers. But, you know, there's that conversation that needs to be had in any of that kind of situation. Listen, I know you can get hit walking across the street. You can stub your toe and die from a blood clot. You can do all those kinds of things. But the risk analysis that goes into any of the things that we do, I know my own Superman complex. I am a hero, and I am Superman in every story I've ever told myself.
That's right.
About what I can handle and what I can't. I wouldn't be a dude if I didn't. I'd have to give up my man card. But I had beaten into me by enough other people who were smarter than I am, and who had been through a lot more bad stuff that I had, to be able to learn from them and say, yeah, you know, you think you're really good, but when your harness slips and you're hanging at 125 feet off a half-inch line and you haven't done something right in your safety checks,
or it's the wrong time.
Have the extra piece of gear that you need to turn yourself right side up and you have to wait for somebody to get there before you pass out because you're inverted, it's the wrong time to think about it. And the same type of thing applies to us. I know that most of the time, and a lot of the places that Bill and I fish down here, you'll see pictures sometimes without PFDs. What you might not see is that, you know, the stick pin is in 4 inches of water where we happen to be sitting in the kayak.
Right.
And we sat down in the kayak to take a picture. But now, you know, I've made it a point to, every time I sit back down in the kayak, I put the PFD back on. Just because it's the habit. My inflatable makes it the law that I have to have it on instead of just having it in the kayak. And it's a good example for my son, on whom I threatened to rain death and destruction from on high if I catch him in a boat without a PFD.
That's right.
So if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me.
And that's the thing, too, you know, is that, I mean, I see, you know, fellas that are out there and they're doing some cool fishing. They're really catching some really neat fish and they're doing some great things and all. But there's some kid out there that sees that and says, look, you know, I mean, he's doing it. And so, you know, you're always going to make an impression on somebody. And I don't ever want to be the one making the impression of, damn, I don't think I'd have gone out there and done that, you know. That was kind of one rule that I always had when I was flying, when I'm fishing, no matter what, wherever I go, is I don't want to be the guy that said, dang, I don't think I'd have ever done that, you know. I don't want that written on my tombstone. And I always say, if there's a question, there should be no question, you know. If you got to ask yourself, is it really worth going out here and doing this, you know? Nah, I don't know. I think you've already answered the question for yourself.
Yeah, I don't want my last words to be, hey, y'all, watch this.
Yeah. That was the last thing we heard on the tape was, take and watch this, you know. Those are dangerous words right there. So.
I got my hands slapped for not wearing it in some of my pictures.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's you're making an impression.
Yeah, but that's different, Chuck. You're fishing in 3-4 feet of water with somebody else. Yeah, if you fall over, you're going to get back up and get back in your kayak. If you're fishing a river with, you know, 6-7 knot current and it's
right
8-10 feet deep, hell yeah, I wear my PFD. If I'm off the beach tarpon fishing, hell yeah, I'll wear my PFD. But if I'm at Simmons Park, where it is the deepest it is maybe 6 feet, and we don't even fish that. We fish inshore where it's, you know, 3, maybe 4 feet deep. I don't always wear it because, you know, I'm just going to stand up and get back in my kayak. Now, if I'm by myself, I'll wear it. You know, heaven forbid something happens to me and I pass out and then hit the water, then, yeah, they'll find my floating carcass, you know, later, and my wife will be happy. But I just, you know, I get kind of ticked off with all this, and there's been some threads going on that, you know, we're not setting a good example, or you can't get your picture in a magazine because you're not wearing a PFD. You know, relax, man. You don't know anything about how we fish or where we fish.
It's a good point.
I'll tell you a funny story. I was told that any of my pictures, by one of my sponsors, I was told that any of my pictures with me sitting in the kayak holding a fish without a PFD on will not be used for anything. And I was like, well, most of my pictures of me holding fish are not me in a kayak. It's me standing next to the kayak because I jump out to land 95% of the fish I catch anyway. And so when I'm standing with my feet on the ground, it's kind of pointless for me to stand there with a PFD around my shoulders, in my opinion. But, you know, it is what it is. One of the biggest problems that I see, and it's growing because the sport's growing, is the lack of safety equipment that's brought with folks when they go off the beaches. And I got kind of laughed at in a way on a local forum because I told guys, if you're going to launch in a specific area here in the Space Coast, which is Playlinda Beach up on the wildlife refuge, if you're going to fish there in your kayak and you don't have a flare gun and you don't have a VHF radio and you don't have a GPS and you don't have an extra radio and you don't have an extra GPS, you don't have extra flares just in case, you're an idiot. Because I watched a guy literally have to beach his kayak and walk all the way back to his truck, call a friend to have to come all the way out to help him get it because he was so exhausted. He got caught up in a rip current on his way back in, and he didn't know any better. He's just trying to paddle against the rip current to come back in, and he's just sitting in one place paddling for like 20 minutes. And next thing you know, he's totally whooped. The same thing could happen there. As what Bill was saying, if you fall out and you swim over to grab one of your things, one of your items, and turn around, your kayak's floating off, dude, there's nothing up there. I mean, there's literally nothing up that way off Playlinda Beach. I mean, there's no hotels, there's no condos, there's nothing for literally miles. I mean, until you get to Daytona, so you're talking, you'd be in the water for probably 4 hours before you ever drifted that far. And these guys, all they think that they need is a PFD, a whistle, which isn't going to serve you any good when you're out there, and a safety flag, if that, you know. And it's just, you know, I think that there's a lot of misconception of what safety is and what people, I think, take as what they think that they can do. Greg just said, sometimes he thinks he's Superman, and I feel the same way about myself a lot of times, that it's not going to happen to me or whatever until it does. When we've lost, I think, 3 kayakers in the past 4 years off our beaches because guys just literally disappear, fall off the kayak washes in on the beach, and guy isn't found. I mean, there's 2 guys that still have never been recovered from the ocean. Obviously, they never will, but in the last 3 years, where their kayaks washed up on the beach, but they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
You know, if you're floating around on the ocean and you got a GPS and a waterproof VHF radio, at least you have a shot at calling somebody. You know, if you fall in the water with a whistle, you know, good luck. Blow the whistle all you want. No one's ever going to hear you.
Yeah,
it's not going to work out like it did in Titanic.
No, I don't think so. And, you know, I think that a lot of it is just, you know, good risk management, and folks just need to think about it, think about what they need. You know, you think about all of it. You know, do you take water out there? I mean, you fill up a cooler full of beer and take that out there. You'd be out in the sun all day and the heat off the beach and you fall into water. I don't know. Just good risk management. Yeah, exactly. So, so anyways, after that good buzz kill on safety, but just good risk management. We got 20 people in a chat room right now, Bill, and I think it's about time, man. What do you think?
I think it's a good time.
You think it's a good time? Let me find my mouse here. Let me see where I'm at. Okay, here we. Let me give you a little background. All right, so.
Is the king coming?
What's yeah, that? Man.
Glad he got,
yeah, there you
glad
go.
Glad he
man.
Got dressed up for the occasion.
All right, Bill's got a big announcement. Let us know, Bill. What's going on?
I'm, you know, as most of you guys know, I'm sponsored by Malibu, and I'm happy to announce that Malibu will be donating a Stealth 12 to the Boondoggle.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. And actually,
very nice.
Yeah, that's very cool. So, Chuck.
Yo.
Another boat, man.
I know. So. I got with Bill and I kind of begged him over the course of the last couple of weeks to see what he can do. And Bill's like, calm down, pretty much shut up. Let me just take care of what I need to take care of and get through, man. It's awesome. I'm really excited about that. That brings the boat total to kayak total to 3. And we have the old, American Eagle canoe to give away as well. So we have a Jackson. Jackson's given us a Cruise 12.
That's their new boat, right?
Yeah, just featured on yakangler.com. And Native has given us a redfish. I don't know what length yet, but I talked to Woody via message, and he said he's going to give us a redfish to give away.
That's cool.
And that's awesome, man. Malibu's stepping up, giving away a Stealth 12. I'll be honest, I wouldn't mind winning that thing. It'd be cool.
Awesome. So I think we might ought to have, you know, one of these boats for like a 16 and under raffle. What do you think?
Well, you know, I was thinking about including the 16, 17-year-olds into the kids raffle-ish. What I was thinking about doing was just give all the kids that are 12 and under coming are going to get a ticket, much like we did in Chokoloski.
Right.
And all the kids will walk away with something. So, but I was thinking about adding an additional ticket, maybe a different colored ticket, and do that with one of the boats. I'm still working on a couple other angles as well as far as other boats and manufacturers and such. So I'm going to wait and see what takes place over the next couple of weeks. Now, since you're, you know, gracious enough to hook us up with this amazing prize, if you want to designate that to that, that's fine. But I've got some stuff that's more geared towards youth, if that makes any sense. A couple of boats I'm looking at that, not that a 12 isn't perfect for them, because it is, but I mean, even if a 6-year-old or 8-year-old should win it, you know, I've got some stuff I'm trying to work on where there'll be a significant prize for that as well. So
no, I wasn't making no designation that we should do it. I just said, you know, it kind of might be nice if a kid won a boat. That's all.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. No. But that's just it. That was one of my plans too, was to do that. Like I've got some rod and reels coming for some of the kids.
Yeah, that's
not
cool.
All going to get the same thing. That's kind of the thing, you know. Like it'll be more like a normal raffle, but they'll all win something. You know, some kids will get lucky and win a rod and a reel. Some kids will win some flyers, baits, and you know, some other stuff too. So. But have different, you know, levels. So
very cool. So thanks, Bill, man. Thanks for your work and appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I'll Chuck, I'll know a little bit more maybe next week. If it comes in the color that I've requested, we might have to work something out if we have any vets that are there, that are borrowing kayaks or that need a kayak, you know, something along those lines, if you kind of get my drift.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 110%, brother. You don't have to say anything else. I got you.
Yep.
All right.
Good job. Appreciate it. So what sound does Bill make when launching?
Mm-hmm.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right. Well, that's pretty awesome. I mean, we're at the top of the hour, man. Where does the time go? So that's cool. All right. So what does Becker say when he loses yet another fish?
Quit hole jumping, Bill.
All right. And there's this one here. All right. So.
Chip.
Yes.
I also have a trolling motor and trolling motor mounting kit to give away as well.
Can't use it at the no motor zone.
Yeah, I know that, but you know what? The guy who lives somewhere else who doesn't have
another
no motor zone.
Yeah, go to the other motor zone.
Way to shoot me down there, Chip. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. No, that's
bail
cool.
Out. Bail out.
Fox 2, Fox 2.
Out.
Yeah, chaff flares. All right. All right, so... Bill, you going to get out and fish this weekend?
Does a fat kid like cake?
Does a fat kid like cake? I know I do. So, all right. Where you going to do the winter pattern and anything special?
Yes, it's going to be deep back country snook fishing.
Awesome. Deep backcountry snook fishing. And mm-hmm. I guess you'll be taking Becker and showing him how it's done, or has Mr. Becker got other plans?
I haven't talked to Mr. Becker.
Oh, okay. Mr. Becker, your plans for the weekend?
He needs to call.
I don't know. I have not yet been told. I've got a couple things to get done around here, but I have not yet been told what my plans will be for the weekend.
Good. Check the calendar,
depends
right?
How many pictures Bill, well, it depends how many pictures Bill needs taken. So.
Oh, okay. You take Robert out there and let him catch the fish so Bill can have something to take pictures of, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. It didn't work out that way 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Robert, let me hold that fish. Bill, take my picture.
don't hate the player. Hate the game.
That's right.
It was a smackdown, if I do remember correctly.
Yeah, there you go. Photobomb. That's why the boondoggle is so much fun, right? Because this is what we do. We have a lot of fun. So, Chuck, your weekend,
yep.
Man. You're going fishing tomorrow, you said, right?
Yeah, I'm going to hit the lagoon up tomorrow with some of my Space Coast kayak angler buddies. And, I'm going to try not to fall in the water. I was told by a friend of mine who has a Jackson Big Tuna that you can use a rather large cooler on the Big Tuna as a push-pull platform. So I'm going to take my AMC 75 quart Orca cooler, which there will be one to give away at the boondoggle as well, and stick it on my Big Tuna and see if I can't stand on it and push-pull it around.
Somebody needs to have a camera
out
there, all right?
Yeah.
If you're
your
please.
God, let there be a video camera in place. I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
needs to take some pictures of that one because I want to see Chuck take a dive off of his kayak there. So.
I'm going to try. I mean, hey, if I fall in, I fall in. I'm not scared. That's the thing. But, yeah, right. That. And then what was going to say, this upcoming Monday, I've got another guest on the show. He is the owner proprietor of Unfair Lures, which is a new hard bait company. Gentleman's from South Africa, I believe, and he lives here in the States, lives actually just south of me, about 30 minutes south of me, and his lures are pretty awesome looking, and we'll have him on there. He's actually got a pretty cool thing he wants to do. He wants to get lures in the hands of about 15 boondogglers for the time while they're here. I mean, they can keep them, but and he wants them to fish with them while they're in town and kind of give them some feedback and such, so we'll be setting up some sort of a game where during the show you'll go and, you know, do what I tell you to do, hopefully, and get yourself on the list of getting some free lures. He's also given us some prize packs to give away at the boondoggle as well, so that'd be cool. And one more plug, if you don't mind, February 9th, there's two big events coming up here in Titusville. We have the first ever Tropic Bay Kayak Fishing Classics event here in Titusville, and then also to the Anglers for Conservation has set up a cleanup for the Maritime Wildlife Refuge the same day. So if anybody wants to get involved in either one of those activities, feel free to email me at my proper email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com, which I do check. Thank you very much.
All right, cool. And Chuck will kick off the week every Monday night at 8 o'clock on Kayak Fishing Radio, so make sure you tune in and listen to him. Mr. Caput, you've been sitting in the background listening and stuff. You got anything to add before we close out here tonight?
It's too damn cold to fish up here, man. I'm just looking for lures. Nice fishing show. Nice saltwater fishing show up the road. There's a bunch of fishing shows going on this time of year up north. So that's what we've been doing.
Ice fishing.
I'm
all
ready,
right.
I'm ready.
Okay. Jim, how about you, man? You got 2 cents?
Man, the wife and I are going to go down to the RV show on the south side down your way to look at RVs to enhance our kayak fishing adventures.
Well, we might see you there. I don't know what day you're planning on headed over there.
We're going down Saturday.
Okay.
It won't be too early. We're going to wait for it to warm up a little bit. It'll be middle of the day.
All right. Toss me an email at chip@kayakfishingradio.com and let me know what your plans are. We might meet up there.
Sweet.
So, all right. Well, it's been fun. I appreciate it. Again, you heard it here. We got a Malibu Stealth 12, or short model. Appreciate it, Bill, once again. And all right. So tight lines to you guys. Thanks for joining us. Folks in the chat room, Rob and Evolving Currents, Fishing Chef, see you in there. Hammerhead, Mr. Chris, he's bringing tools to the boondoggle for our thing. That's pretty awesome. Hook and Paddle, Mr. Lozier, that's half of the Double L crew there for our Tuesday night show. R. Lee, Scuba Stan. Now, that's some guy you're going to see here as we get closer and closer to the boondoggle, Scuba Stan. You can just, like, start hearing the ground vibrate around that guy. So he gets excited about it. And Mr. T. Morris and Tommy Head Jigs, we appreciate it. And I saw some other folks in there, too, this evening. We appreciate you showing up. Thanks again, everybody. Y'all have a good night, and we'll see you next time. We'll do it again. Tight lines. Take a kid fishing. Go out with Becker. We'll go this way.